And a very good evening to you. Welcome to Global Digest, where we look at every topic that has been part of the news headlines this week and every other week. This day, we are joined by a guest who's more like now becoming part of the show. We all remember Benji Ndolo. Benji, a bit of a self-introduction.
Laban, nice to see you. Good evening, everyone. And Irene. Yeah, always good to be back home to Capital. Hope we can have a good discussion on this evening's Global Digest as the year gets old. We are now in March, so we don't say Happy New Year anymore. But yeah, always nice to be here.
They always say, you say Happy New Year if it's the first time you're seeing someone.
Exactly.
It's still valid. Yeah, right, we've seen each other this year.
Exactly.
Happy Women's Day to you, Irene. Belated,
okay,
though.
Yeah.
International
Women's Day, Laban.
Okay.
Thank you all the same. I'm glad to be here today for the discussion. Mm-hmm. Hoping it will be intriguing with Benji here. He has quite a perspective on issues, especially when it comes to political issues.
Thank you.
So we'll be dissecting the issues in this discussion.
Okay. And it's indeed one of the topics that we are supposed to be handling. The issue of gender role in Kenya.
Yeah.
But while we are still on the topic of International Women's Day, the theme for this year's International Women's Day was Invest in Women, Accelerating Progress. Benji, if I could start with you, what does that mean to you?
Investing in women, accelerating progress. Mm. So obviously, the women's movement is a very progressive, is a very... I hate to use the word futuristic, but very, you know, liberal. Women are more than just, you know, housewives or mothers or nurturers. As Barack Obama, president, likes to say, why would you, if you're a smart politician or leader, mm-hmm. why would you keep half of the team away from playing? And women are, in many cases, in the population even more than men. And so to educate the girl child, to empower the woman, etc., is in essence just to invest better in society for the betterment of society. And so to accelerate progress, to bring compassion is expected of women leadership, which I think then goes to my point as to why, and Irene, I'm curious to hear her opinions, why Kenyans remain very disillusioned and very disappointed in the women reps that we have and just in the women leadership in general. And in fact, even in the entire concept of let's just nominate me because I'm a woman, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. When you compare them now with the real women we had before. And I know the name Martha Karua is almost overused.
Martha Karua, the late Wangari Maathai.
The late Wangari Maathai, Nobel laureate, even Charity.
Charity Ngilu.
You know, just self-made women who set their eyes on a goal. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's not just about achieving the goal, but it's about, because it's not just about becoming a governor. It is, what do you do with the power that the people give you? And on that score, we're failing dismally.
We will come back and look at what do you call empowering women only political? Could it also mean in other sectors? Because I think most of the time we are looking at it from the context of it's just political, help so and so to get to being a governor, to being a member of parliament, to being the deputy president, a running mate for a deputy president. Irene, investing in women, accelerating progress.
I think from where I sit, it's focused on all aspects in terms of social, economic and social, economic, and what have you. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at that particular theme for this particular year, mm-hmm. it's looking into the issue of human rights. Mm-hmm. And the race against time to achieve the gender equality by the year 2030. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that is facing African nation, even internationally. The issue of gender equality has still remained to be a very big challenge, which begs the question why each and every year, International Women's Day, yes, we are talking about achieving gender equality, but still remains an elusive task, so to speak. And so, looking at it as a country, we really have a long way to go in the aspect of all aspects, not only political. I know in Kenya, when you mention two-third gender rule or gender equality, mm-hmm. everyone looks at it from a political point of view, yet we have other sectors, including the private sector. So I think we have a long way to go as a country in achieving that. It's a theme, yes, for the whole world, but mm-hmm. but as a country, we really have a long way to go.
The reason why I kind of found it interesting to start on that note is because last week when everything was happening, everything kind of had a women feel, empower women. And the one thing I kept asking myself, like Irene, you rightly put it, in the public sector, maybe we are struggling in trying to meet the gender role. But in private sector, I mean, businesses that are owned by women, funding mechanisms, banks are coming up with products that are friendly to encouraging women. Microfinance is doing the same thing. My question is it that the women, sisters, Irene, mm-hmm. are not stepping up to take up those opportunities? And if so, what's stopping them?
In the private sector, you mean?
In general. Like the opportunities, mm-hmm. why aren't you taking it up?
I think for the longest, and looking into this issue from a broad perspective, for the longest, women have been marginalized to a very great extent that currently is where we are catching up in terms of now women coming to the forefront, especially in the private sector. I know a study has not been done to equate in terms of the progress that has been done in the private sector to give women more leadership positions, but we have seen in leading private institution where women are taking control and they're really running with it. And the biggest question, even as we're having those women in those particular private institution, they will still complain mm-hmm. that the gender equality question has not really been answered, even as they are leading. They find themselves in boardroom meeting where it's only the CEO who is a woman, the rest are men. And that's not to say that we just want women to be there for the sake of them being in that particular position, mm-hmm. but is to say that let's give women chances, because they have been marginalized for so long to the extent that they do not see, I don't want to call it, there's something we call it, not imposter syndrome. I don't want to say it's more of an imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. but a point of women not being empowered to feel
enough.
To feel enough and fill these particular positions. But in the private sector, we're doing so far so good. Mm-hmm. But in the governance sector and the political sector, so to speak, we still have a long way to go. And it all boils down to our systemic way of doing things. That will take us a long time, because it all starts at the grassroots level. Before you say you want to see two-thirds implemented in parliament, mm-hmm. we have to start from the point of nomination. The politics at the grassroots level. I know we'll get to that particular discussion, but since you've asked about what is happening in both sectors,
yeah.
I think it's more of women being marginalized and not being empowered enough to get to those particular posts. But someone will say that's a cliche statement of what women have been crying out loud year in, year out. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it critically, you'll understand where that particular issue is coming from.
Benji, Irene has kept throwing this word around, given. Is it an issue of women are supposed to be given, or it's an issue of women should earn that opportunity to sit in the boardroom to lead? Because I'll give you the example of the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Yeah.
She earned that seat. Absolutely. And you saw the way the whole world kind of just went like celebrated it.
Yeah.
But when Irene says give women.
Yeah.
I mean,
the context of this, Laban, is where the problem is that women are coming from very far. Mm-hmm. In the sense that in this lifetime, of our parents, for instance, the ones they call the baby boomers, but born in the 1950s, mm-hmm. people who are very much still around, mm-hmm. You will be aware as a senior journalist that for a lot of them, a girl child had to forfeit going to school for her brother to go to school. So a lot of those cases for our parents are there. So looking at the culture and just the context in the last 50 plus years, which is, you know, half of a lifetime, mm-hmm. Women are coming from far. Now, having said that, we also have a complex issue within this issue of, are we empowering the girl child or women at the expense of boy child, at the expense of men? And that's a huge other dynamic. You know, we're here asking questions. So, for instance, when you surreptitiously or mysteriously give Jackie Maribe a government job, are you empowering women? You know, and I say surreptitiously because it's not clear when the advertisement was or the interview process, etc. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to do something like that because the target is a woman, and society will be softer and more accepting of that?
But was it done, for instance, that appointment, was it done to meet a gender quota? Or it's a question that all
the question is the environment,
yeah,
you know, more favorable to that kind of thing? And I have this discussion a lot as a social activist, where a lot of young parents tell you that their students are in university, mm-hmm. okay, so you're in university at the same time, and if a young couple goes out on a date, two 19-year-olds, I think it's a given that the guy is expected perhaps to pick the date and maybe to foot the bill. But how fair is that? Because he's also a kid. Mm-hmm. You get, and it's just societal structure, cultural realities. And so it's a very complex thing. And as you rightly point out, there then emerges a bit of an expectation or a perception that women are to be given some space, given something, you know, given by the man, you know, in this patriarchal society. And what for me has been the biggest problem is because I had an issue with the two-thirds gender rule as was put, because as the late senior senator Mutula Kilonzo put it, mm-hmm. Laban, mm-hmm. and I believe you still have that footage right here at Capital FM, mm-hmm. you know, the two-thirds gender rule, as I see it, is more of an aspirational ideal. As we grow, as we move, we would, you know, it's not something you can just cure with appointments or nominations and then at 4 billion shillings, you know, cost. And so it would be aspirational to the effect that 20 years from today, 10 years from today, 30 years from today, Kenya, like Rwanda, could have a situation where people are electing more women than men. Mm-hmm. So that it would actually be two-thirds women and a third of men. Mm-hmm. So it was aspirational. But because we did the constitution kind of copy and paste, you know, et cetera, from different jurisdictions, we then ran into afoul of, you know, these ideals where for the last, I think, more than 10 years now, we've actually never met this two-thirds gender rule requirement, and we've been struggling as recently as Friday to see how to fill it. But again, to my point, the bigger problem, Irene, for me has been we give women a chance, we do all these different nominations, and then we have very little to show for it, in the sense that women say, well, don't ask us about leadership because also the men are not leading. So is it, how fair is it to castigate the woman rep when the member of parliament who is a man is also not leading? So in that way, Laban, you have kind of a race to the bottom.
Yeah. So one of the things that I want to point out, you mentioned Mutula Kilonzo Senior, yeah. The late.
Yeah.
And I remember when he brought the first attempt to recognize this. And he, one of the arguments that he put across to the House was, guys, ladies and gentlemen, please don't look at this as a bill to help women. At some point, you men will also need it.
Correct.
Yeah, because you never know what
society progresses, and you elect more women than men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's.
But people didn't understand.
Absolutely. even when the then majority leader Aidan Duale attempted to bring another one. Still didn't
shut
manage.
It down.
Yeah, didn't manage. Yeah. But even by then, there was no political will. But we'll get to that topic on another in the next hour. The one when I bring up the topic of earn versus give, yes, because you've both kept on saying give, brings out the impression that I have the latitude to decide whether I want to give you, but if it is earned, it means something different. For instance, when we are talking about Martha Karua, when we are talking about Charity Ngilu, when we are talking about Margaret Thatcher.
They earned.
Yes, they earned those seats.
Absolutely.
They see, when you mention them, you don't play around with their names, no?
Yeah.
In this context, you usually struggle to try and get some of our leaders who got somewhere and they have not moved an inch. But another example would be when JSC was looking for a deputy chief justice after Nancy Baraza was removed from office.
Yeah.
That's it, they were told, it's reserved for a woman.
Yeah, which is also a bit problematic.
But you found men were actually applying for the job.
Yeah.
And they had to cancel out, to re-advertise because they said they did not get enough women. And then the usual, I want to say excuse, was women are scared. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't know how to go about it. And they were told, just
to
apply.
Yeah.
I remember Emilio Odhiambo saying, just apply.
So I would just want to highlight something real quick and then we can throw it to Irene. In a country where all presidents since independence have been men. In a country like the US, where all presidents since independence in the last 230 years have been men. In a country where 9 out of 10 party leaders are men, I can kind of see why there then emerges the thought process of, if you can give the woman a chance, then they can get something. So that's kind of where that is coming from. There are also many issues around, gender relations, etc. Because you many times hear, and I see this quite a bit, that, you know, women are their own worst enemies. So there's a bit of, you do hear. And frankly, if you speak to Mama Mboga in the village, you know, you'll hear a lot of things, some of which, you know, this is a very decent show, so I don't want to go into, but you know, kisirani ya wanawake. That's a lady. Yeah. And that's a lady telling you, mimi sitaki mwanamke.
Let me just interject on that.
Yes.
Is that to say that among us men,
yes,
we don't have that, would they call it culture of trying to pull someone down or trying to badmouth someone? We do. But
ours is different. But ours is purely economically competitive, like I don't want this guy to have more money than me, or we are.
But someone may argue that Irene doesn't want Mwangi to earn more than her, so she tries to bring her down, bad mouth her.
But usually, it would be Wanjiro, not Mwangi, and so it's something we can.
Her second name is Mwangi, though. So
well, yeah. So it's context, and it then becomes a very slippery slope, because if you even go to polling data and voter data, we've had, you know, we've had women candidates. I don't want to really get deep into Azimio politics, but you remember the expectations of Martha Karua just in the last election. And as much as there were allegations of rigging, etc., you can just see that if you look at the polling data, even from her own station, from her own county, where she had also tried to become the governor, a lot of those women just walked into the booth and voted for a man. Regardless of the message, regardless of the yearning for change, so to speak, you know, in quotes.
Both presidential candidates were men.
But they didn't favor, even from her own village, they didn't, they voted against, they walked into the booth and said, I don't want this woman from my village to be the deputy president. And that's a profound statement.
Let's take it back to 2017.
Yes.
Waiguru versus Martha Karua.
Yes.
The narrative was shaped in a certain way.
Yes.
You have two women.
Yes.
One is good, the other one, you know what she did.
Yes, correct.
One has fought for your freedom.
Correct.
The other one, you know what she did.
Correct.
Everyone went for, we know what she did.
Correct.
Forget the freedom fighter.
Correct.
Is it time that women and the ladies who are probably thinking of running for a seat or doing something in business or private sector, is it time that maybe they think about another strategy rather than bringing forward the fact that I am a woman?
Absolutely. It is not just about the gender card, what we call the gender card. It is always about the agenda. So it's not about gender, it's about your agenda. What do you want to do for the republic? What do you want to do for the county? And how are you going to do it? What is your track record? And in fact, I say this to Irene once again. For the women that are in leadership now, the fact that some of them in prominent positions have had such a problematic and nasty past, it is not easy to just overlook. In other words, they're doing such a disservice to the women movement, to the aspiration of women leadership in this country. It doesn't help your cause when you are absolutely suspected. I mean, you even had to leave government because of corruption allegations. And I think also, Irene, what makes it worse is when women are afraid to call out their own simply on the merits. I mean, the Nairobi Women Rep was right here 2 weeks ago and I listened, a week or two ago. And I remember she participated in a march where there was a lot of outrage. People said, where were you when femicide and whatnot is happening? And rather than her handle the question and the pressure, she said, oh, you know, she blamed it on Twitter. You know, Twitter is this, and it's not a real place. And what you should do is block those people who ask you those questions, and they just want to attack you, and you can't carry them. It's a cross you have to let go and move forward. Irene, you cannot let a woman leader get away with stuff like that.
Irene.
Because they many times are not leading from the front. They don't have an agenda. A lot of them just want to follow a party leader around and take a popular position and posture. And that's how come a lot of Kenyans are asking, what is the value of a woman rep? And that I've worked in NGOs for years. That question is not answered because of the behavior.
Okay.
It has to be solid.
Let's you know.
I'll go back to the to the issue on Anne versus Give. If we look at what is happening in the counties, courtesy of devolution, we have what we call the equitable share and the equalization
fund,
and the equalization fund is for counties that have been marginalized for so long that, like the Turkanas and the northeastern counties that we have, get to match up with counties with the counties that have been enjoying the fruits of previous regimes. And that's why we have the issue of Give, because these women have been marginalized for so long, we have a dominant patriarchal system. It will take them time to catch up. So why not make it a bit more easier for them so that they can catch up? And at the same time, we have women who have earned, the likes of Millie, the seven governors we are having at the moment. They have competed for this particular political positions for them to get where they are. And therefore, we cannot detangle these two, earn versus give. They have to be there for women to get where their male counterparts are.
Mm-hmm. When I say earn versus give, mm-hmm. I'm actually putting it that the argument is more towards, if you're putting it on a scale,
mm-hmm.
the give part mm-hmm. is kind of given amplified more priority more. Mm-hmm. than those who have earned. But continue.
Yeah, and that is because of when I look at it from a political point of view. Due to our political dynamics, when you look at it from that particular angle, you'll see for women to compete for this particular post, it will take them a longer time, or it will take them, it will be quite a hurdle for them to win over their male counterparts, and that's why it's more easier when they're, given this nomination post, when we have the seat that now. Dollar is having an issue with the 47 women reps. But I will agree that some women representatives have failed in terms of showing leadership in their positions. And you will hear some of them in the political discussion on what they have to say on some of the issues facing the country. And you'll cringe and you'll wonder, okay, is this the caliber of women that we want in leadership? But the problem has always boiled down to the nature of our political parties. Remember, for them to get to parliament as the 47 women reps, we are having a process here from the political parties all the way. Now, if political parties skew the process of nomination or the caliber of leaders that are chosen on that particular process of nomination, that leader who is not fit for that particular position will find herself in parliament, not because she's competent for that particular post, but because the political dynamics, given that factors such as ethnic politics affect the outcome of any political contest. So there are so many factors that affect the caliber of women we have in parliament, or say in the in devolved units,
yeah.
And it all boils down to the process that we have. Now there was a concern that.
Can I just ask you to hold on that onto that point,
mm-hmm.
so that we can do the news and then we can come back to your point as you are trying to put it across. And welcome back to Global Digest, part two of our conversation today, where we are looking at the question of gender equality. Is it an issue that you're supposed to be given, or is it an issue that is earned? Irene, before we went for the break, you were giving us an explanation on that particular topic.
I wanted to bring it to a close to say, Benji here was saying that he does not understand why we still have the post on the 47 women county representative, given that some of them have not shown any semblance of good governance since we had that particular post in 2013. And I was saying the process of, getting this women representative, given that in our system of politics, for independent candidate to sail through, it's usually quite a hard task. And now we're not talking about a man, we're talking about a woman.
Kawira from Embu.
Like Kawira from Embu. Mm-hmm. And you can see the political issues she's facing at the moment, given that she's not aligned to any political parties. Mm-hmm. Therefore, she's at the whims of who has the majority, and that's why she's aligning to the Kenya Kwanza government at the moment. But my point was that some of these women who will stand out in political positions are the women who are who will garner the seats as independent candidates, but our system of politics does not support that. When you look into political parties and the process of people getting the tickets, you will understand why we usually have the drama that we have during nominations. And mm-hmm. some of these party tickets are handed out to people who are well aligned to, say, the party leader or the secretary general, to the extent that leadership is compromised all the way to having these leaders in parliament. So I'll say sometimes the electorate is tied in terms of not having an array of choices, given that political parties dictate who will get these party tickets for these particular slots. Mm-hmm. And now at the ballot, you'll get to choose candidates who have been given the slots by the political parties. Rarely will you find a woman going all alone as an independent candidate, given the financial muscle that is required for those particular positions.
Yeah, okay.
But now, you know, Laban, just mm-hmm. what is worse, just a quick underscore. I believe that societies don't progress where there's a culture of, you know, the hesitation to say things as they are and the things that are there. I hear Irene clearly, but what she's also avoiding to say, and which I just thought of before we went to break, is just, God forbid, the reality is many a woman or some woman rep or nominated, etc., mm-hmm. are the girlfriend of a party leader, are the, you know, the concubine of of an SG. Mm-hmm. It sounds funny, but we all live in Kenya, and
we know
these are realities and painful realities, because when you talk about a round peg in a square hole, you know, someone comes in, Irene was talking about being ill-equipped to do a job. You come in, you're supposed to, what is the work of a member to represent? Mm-hmm. You don't care anything about policy, to understand policy. Your work is also to legislate. You cannot string together a sentence. You are not coherent with ideas. You cannot debate. And these are facts. As a matter of fact, you're naturally shy. So just imagine you've been thrust into parliament. You are in a county or in a country with so many, you know, someone, I was talking to someone over the weekend, and they were saying, just in Nairobi here, we had sisal plantations just in the 1980s, because, you know, sisal was one of the sectors, including in cotton, you know, remember with the whole Rivertex affair, mm-hmm. Coffee, of course, tea, pyrethrum, and all these industries that have gone down and, in essence, have destroyed the job market and the economy. And so imagine somebody that is supposed to have an idea or energy to do research on sisal, on zoning. You can see the problem with Nairobi zoning today, with drainage, with infrastructure. And they're just there. They're shy. They don't know what to do, but they've been nominated. They are very close to the party leader. I've taken note of one particular lady who has even taken to kneeling down in front of the honorable former prime minister. And, you know, this is going viral. And she's just doing that to earn bonga points in order to get a nomination. This poisons the entire political system, and in a sense is a disservice to women, mm-hmm. because it now also invokes, you know, negative sexism, if there is any
Benji,
such thing.
You know, the interesting thing about everything that you've said,
yeah,
if you didn't throw in the word woman, I would actually have thought you are talking about some male members of parliament, mm-hmm. who, when you look at a survey conducted, for instance, by Mzalendo, which is a monitoring lobby group.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It actually says that it finds more male members of parliament do not even utter a word in parliament for the duration of their term.
They've never made a maiden speech.
My own member is a good example. My own member in Kangundo is a good example.
The thing that I'm asking is, are we then putting women on a different scale than the one we put for men?
No,
you just mentioned there's a lady who went and kneeled down in front of a party leader.
A lot of those members.
But you forget that in successive years, we have kept on seeing male leaders kneeling down in front of presidents, kneeling down in front of other people, and no one asks a question.
When it's a woman, it's really different.
Exactly. It has to
when
be.
When it's a woman, it has to be. It gives a different connotation because...
What is this connotation? Because it is the one thing that is keeping... It's keeping you from getting to earn the seat.
I like giving this example every time I'm confronted with this overly academic, theoretical, progressive argument where, you see, Irene, what he's trying to do is say, you know, men and women are exactly equal. So some years back...
It's not... One second, Laban. They're equal. I agree.
One second, Laban.
Different.
That's where we're going.
Yeah,
that's where we're
I
going.
I agree they're different, but... If you're going to punish Irene or to label Irene as she's sucking up to the boss, if I do the same thing, please say, Laban, you're sucking up to the boss.
It's not exactly the same thing. And when you're a parent, you realize that when you're raising a son and a daughter, I am not just going to say, you know, because there's equality, you can just walk down. I mean, the realities of rape and abuse and whatnot physiologically are very different for a woman. In fact, even physical build, just in general. And the example I was going to give you is some years back in Atlanta, you know, which is American, very progressive. So we had all these progressive ideas, which are fantastic. Mm-hmm. But then it led to a serious policy mess up where a convicted criminal heading to court because of the spirit of men and women are equal was attached a security apparatus of two ladies. And do you know, it was, I don't even understand how this story doesn't trend around the world, because it was so bizarre. The guy in 1 second overpowered the lady that was you know, watching over him now with her partner, disarmed her, I mean just physically shot the other lady and shot the judge. And later, why this was such a good example is because, of course, they do very deep investigations. And they said, how could a guy like this be protected by two, you know, women sheriffs? It's not to say that women sheriffs are inferior or are less smarter. Mm-hmm. But in that whole spirit, Laban, that said, oh, you know, what a man can do, a woman can do better. You know, that whole thing. So when you're doing the salary and you're doing the what, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If I see that sometimes in blogs now. If a man can cheat, if a man can have a mpango, a woman can also have a mpango. And the young people who are very impressionable.
Let's keep this conversation in context. Yes,
yeah, but this
Here's
is exactly the context.
The, what do you call it? Equal pay conversation. It's even there in the. It's still there in the U.S. No,
it
in
is.
The sense that even the Republican, who's going to be the presidential candidate, yes, at one point was confronted by a woman, and she asked, "Are you going when you are elected? Are you going to make sure that I earn the same as my male counterpart?" And Dr. Trump, the thing he said was, if you do the same job in the same way that he does it, yes, you'll earn it. You'll earn.
But
the
then there's still the conversation every day that men by nature are providers. That it's not me saying, that's a conversation I hear every single day.
Okay.
That men are providers and should be providers. So exactly. And that is true in America, it's true in Kenya.
We can have this. It seems like this conversation will go on, and
exactly.
we won't have a point of convergence.
But what we can all agree, mm-hmm. for all the women reps, the elected representatives, because again, the difference with the men you talked about is they are a product mostly of the electorate.
Yeah.
The electorate picks Peter Salasia in his madness and brings him to parliament. I'm not saying it's right, but usually they are not nominated. But what we all
agree, as a voter in Nairobi. Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
On occasion, I have had to vote. I have had to, with a sound mind,
yes,
vote for a lady. Yes. And I'm not talking about Passaris. I'm actually talking, for instance, about Bishop Wanjiru. I voted for her not because of anything else, because I know she can do the job. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, if you're going to have a conversation where you're going to say, "Oh, X is not electable quality," then let's just have it across board. And it's a good thing that we have members of the public, the voters, who at the end of the day come back and tell us, "By the way, we've seen what Passaris did, we've seen what Salasia did,
and I hear you."
And I don't think they deserve another term in parliament.
By the way, Irene, funny enough, you might not know this, but Wanjiru is a very kind of misunderstood leader. If you actually meet her, and I don't know if you have Laban one-on-one, I know you voted for her. If you actually met her and sat in her office in person, you'd be very taken aback. She's actually not a foolish person at all.
I voted for her as a Staria member of parliament. Let us move this conversation. Okay, Irene, let me give you a minute.
Yes. No, I just wanted to say that sometimes issues, we may have a Peter Salasia and Mother Karua, but the electorate will go and choose Salasia and not Mother Karua. Why? Because, again, there is a lot that has not been done in terms of educating the electorate on some of these particular choices because of the dominant patriarchal system, that it must always be a man, regardless of whether the woman can perform better than the man in this case, which has affected actually... we have seen some non-governmental organization actually fund the campaigns of women aspirants, but they will still not make it, not because they have not given it their all, but because the electorate still have a perception that a man can do it better than a woman, which is something that people have tried to do away with, but for whatever reason, it has still stuck. Especially in some region, for example, in Northeastern, apart from Fatuma Dulo, the Imsiolo senator, you'll rarely find a woman competing against a man because, again, culture gets into the way. Mm-hmm. So they're told, you guys, don't go for the MP slots. Women representative. Okay. This, you can't compete against a man. That is the perception that is laid out there. So I think... we still have a long way to go on that aspect.
You can't compete against a man, yet there is a man who lives in the house at the Hill who said in 2032, when he's done with his 10 years, the next person to run on a UDA / Kenya Kwanza ticket will be, I'm assuming here, will be Rigathi Gachagua. And a woman.
Caution. We are on air.
Right.
With respect to democracy, Laban, I don't think it is fair in the second year of a president who will face re-election to just... You see, this is how we normalize even graft. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to just take it for granted that the president will be re-elected.
I was quoting what he said. He said 2032.
Okay. He shouldn't have. But
let us not be. Let me just make the point, Laban.
Even if I, Benji, were president,
right,
I would like to humbly submit that I will do my best in the first term, and this is exactly how Barack Obama used to speak. And everybody knew he was brilliant, and he had won McCain outright. For the sake of democracy, I don't want us to gloss over. You know, especially now with reconstitution of IEBC, etc. So I know he said some things about women in leadership. I actually heard them on Capital FM. But it's also not our job to parrot. You know, he's a politician and we here are the fourth estate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just with respect. I'm just saying that with respect because we have an obligation to ensure, even if we are a cynical society, even if young people really don't have a lot of hope and a lot of aspirations in the government or in the leadership, we also have an obligation to deepen democracy by respecting institutions, by respecting elections, etc. And so the president, who I supported, will be a candidate. And if Kenyans want him to come back, then he can talk about, you know, doing 10 years. But I think it's very premature to talk that way. I'm sorry.
Is it feasible for us to have...
In fact, what he said is when I talk with Gachagua to Kipangana hapo mbele. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
only for only yeah. for the deputy the current deputy president
yeah.
to in another forum
yeah.
come back and say you'll have to actually wait to finish with your term first and then we can
some
we
of those pronouncements but all these Jubilee the question, people are problematic.
The question here is
yeah.
For a president who you once when you were here before
yeah.
you actually gave props as to the way he can plan things ahead of time.
Yes.
He can put everything yes. ahead of time.
Clearly.
Is it feasible? And what will you be looking at given the points that you have all argued here
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we had Martha Karua as a deputy, a running mate.
Yes.
And it didn't work out.
Yes.
What will the electorate
yes.
of the future be looking at? Will they be still looking at the cultural issues? Will they be looking at, or will they look at a woman who has an agenda, who has been teamed up by
the latter,
teamed up with
the latter,
with
the latter, a woman who has an agenda, a woman who has ability, a woman who has a track record, a woman who has passion for the country, a woman who is a leader.
And
if we don't do that, mm-hmm. it will be once again an exercise in futility.
I have no, that's where I have a problem because the arguments that both of you have put across
yes.
to me,
yes,
have suggested that we have a society of women, unfortunately, who majority expect to be given, not earn. So how will they earn the respect of a totally different demographic? It will not be myself and yourself mm. who can say, oh, when we were being brought up, we never went to school with shoes and stuff like mm. that. We value hard work.
Mm. The Gen Zs and the whatnot. It will be basically... Again, like I said at the beginning of the conversation, we have to, at the end of the day, the bottom line will have to be man, woman, and nowadays you even have, what is it called, transgender, etc. It'll have to be, because that's coming.
Mm-hmm, it's coming.
I mean, that's yeah, because yeah, that's coming, you know. I was born Susan, but I identify as a male. You mm-hmm. mean, that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line now will have to be not so much these gender wars and gender identities per mm-hmm. se, but what can you actually do for the country? And this is very important when you talk about issues, like the real issues. Hunger, poverty, broken economy, stock market, you know, jobs, etc., etc. I think we'll talk about Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Haiti has literally, the EU has evacuated all ambassadors yesterday mm-hmm. and today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's complete.
Almost
yes,
gone.
It's complete breakdown. The president cannot land. He's hiding in Puerto Rico next door.
Right.
You know,
let's give Irene.
When you need chance. Solutions, yeah. what of what use is debating? Is this leader a woman or a transgender or a man? I think it will really just be about on the merits.
Irene,
I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I'll say. For the electorate to vote for political leaders or women per se on the basis of merit will take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It will need us to change our political landscape of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article that I read that said that for us to have a woman president, women must have their own political parties that champion for their own political interest, because the political parties that we are having currently are male dominated, and even when women are given a space, they are given a space from the point of so that you guys don't wail too much, just have this
tokenism,
so that, yeah, just take this so that you know,
Mnyamaze.
Mnyamaze.
Mm.
And why I'm saying so is that even President William Ruto, that some have said that he will achieve this to that gender thing, one of the main tests that he failed is when he said his cabinet will be 50-50, and still he failed to
Correct.
Achieve that. Yet that is an appointive post. It's not about the electorate interfering with the choices, but it's you as President William Ruto aligning the cabinet to have a 50-50 gender parity. That he failed on that particular aspect, it means that it will take a longer time for them to have to achieve this in all
the
other political
by the way, remarks. Is the Benji. Cabinet half-third, two-thirds, does it... Does it ascribe to the two-thirds gender principle?
It is upon the president to it.
But does it as currently constituted?
No.
Currently, no.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Parting shot, please.
I think we're going to Haiti.
No.
No?
Unfortunately, we'll stay here in Kenya.
Yeah.
We'll have to bring you back next week.
And the cops should stay here in Kenya. Yeah. I mean, you can see how terrible the situation is in Haiti. It's completely absurd to insist on not even military officers, but just police officers just going into that kind of mayhem. You wonder what is the deal behind the deal. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. That was a really good discussion. And let's keep doing this very often, Laban and Irene.
Yes, because we didn't touch on Haiti, next week you kind of have to come back so that at least we can discuss it on a broader context.
Always happy to come back. Capital is home.
All right. Thank you, Irene, for making time for us. Thank you for listening to us on the other side. And the hype is up next. Good night.